I want to have Christ in my life, you know. Now, it sounds strange to you as a, from a pastor, but you know, sometimes you feel like you do the Lord work, but you don't have the Lord inside of you. And just like you stand right here next to your friend who have ice cream and you cannot lick it. You want it so bad, you know. And here I see Christ, you know, and I couldn't taste it. That's what it feels like. I don't know how can I explain to you. I long to taste to have the presence of Christ in my life. And so the message I want to share with you this morning, have the same mind of Christ. Have the same mind of Christ. When I was young, you know, I was a computer engineer. I want to have the mind of Steve Jobs. God, you know, you got to take that beam, all that knowledge into my head. I want to be creative. I want to create a new computer that changed the world. Matter of fact, I moved to Simi Valley, I mean Silicon Valley, just to do that. I mean, if you mingle with the head people, hopefully you can be like that. And so how many people of you have someone in your mind, even maybe, Michael Jackson. You know, how can I move like him? How I sing like him. You know, everyone has some idol in your life. After I go through with my life, see who's idol, the only person I really want to look up is Jesus Christ. That's it. I mean, who still live eternally? I want to follow Jesus. You know, after I revealed to Steve Jobs' life, I say, I don't want to live that life. You know, I want to born and live that life, you know, and have that death. You know, I don't want to go through that. And so I want to share with you, I want to have the same mind of Christ. What does it mean by that? Your life will be changed dramatically if you have the same mind of Christ. Go with me in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And here's a few pieces of the sermon you will hear this morning, probably from Pastor Ivory Meyer. I love this message and this idea. On 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, say, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Now, Christ suffered for us in his flesh, you know. It's not this is divinity power. In his flesh. Arm yourself also with the same mind. You know, you have to arm yourself. You have to mingle. You have to embrace it in the same mind with Christ. Why? For he who have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. If you and I will embrace and have the same mind of Christ, we will overcome any sin, any temptation. That's what this Bible text says. Your life will change. Your life will change drastically if you have the same mindset of Christ. Now, how do we do that? Do we come to this church, just listen 1 hour of sermon, or maybe half an hour of Bible study, or maybe a short devotion? No. I read here from the Desire of Age chapter, Desire of Age page 83 says this. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day. How many? How much? An hour, thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. Now, I really take this text serious. This sentence serious. You have to spend an hour, thoughtful hour to contemplate. How do you contemplate on the life of Christ? We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the ending one, especially the end, the life of Christ, especially his death. And so I start to take it this seriously after a 10-day of prayer. But somehow it doesn't get into my mind that somehow I just pray just like separate a prayer life and a work life. But when I come to this text, say, you know, you have to imagine the life of Christ day in and day out. When I started to meditate on this and think about it, it's really make me close to Christ, but it feel like make you like you have Christ live in you. Everything you say, everything you do, every action you take is just Christ's character. I like that. I want that. How about you? You want that? That's what I really wish that happened. And when you start to imagine and contemplate the love of Christ, it will happen. And so what Pastor Myers said, let's squeeze all 33 and a half years of Jesus Christ's life in 1 hour. Let's squeeze all that in 1 hour and let go into the whole scene and put yourself in the place and ask yourself, what would I do in this situation if Christ was with me? What would Christ do? How did he react? And so let's go through with this now. Now begin in the book of chapter 2 of the book of Matthew. Turn with me. Matthew chapter 2. Now starting with the story, Jesus Christ was born into this world. Amazing. He came to this world. Prophecy had been talked about so long, people have been waiting for it, and actually Jesus Christ actually come to this world. Now, when he comes to this world, it's not just come to this world alone. He wants to bring everything he has, all his power, all his wisdom, to bestow it upon you and I. And so, as we meditate on his life, and that's time to meditate in your prayer. Wake up in the morning and pray about it. Think about it. I start to sing few hymnals, and I start to read the Bibles, and I start to think about his life. He was born to this world. And so in the morning you begin to wake up, you are born into this world too. Wow. I'm born again. I'm a new person. You know, when you're born again, you're a new person. Let the past be gone. Whatever happened yesterday, let it go. I'm beginning the day fresh. That's what Jesus Christ did. He comes to this world, it's fresh, and he started his life. And here the wise men come and give him the three gifts, special gold, frankincense, and myrrh, to show his kingship, to show his priesthood, to show his sacrifice. Think about those gifts. What gift did God give you to begin in your life? Well, he called you the son and daughter of him. He promised to give the Holy Spirit. He promised he'd walk with you every single day, if you allow him to. So as he begin his life, now people start to worship Jesus. She's a baby. Man, what's a baby? What's a king have to do with this little baby? So when King Herod heard about it, man, that's really driving his nerve. He said, you know, there's no other king beside me. And so if you look down to Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, this is what King Herod determined to do. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. And then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the district from 2 years and under. Man, can you see it? King Herod was angry, and he decided to kill the Son of God. Man, when you wake up in the morning, Satan will want to take away your life because you are the son and daughter of God. He's going to do everything to kill you. He wants to remove you because you are something. You're going to be a powerful person in that particular day in your life. You're going to witness. You're going to do something and say, I don't want to see him on this earth. And so that's what Satan will come after, my friend. So when you start your day, don't think there's no evil come to attack you. There will be. If you pay attention, he behind your back. Praise God that the Holy Spirit and the angel protect Jesus. Take him to Egypt and bring him back to Nazareth. He will protect you if you abide in him. I'm sharing with you with that because you know what? Jesus always walks with you. But he said, yes, temptation will come. And so as you look at the life of Christ, continue on as he will live a wonderful life until he reached the age of 12. What happened at the age of 12? Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. At the time that that age, a very special age, that his knowledge is all open, and now the parents take him to the temple. Go to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Before you read the text, I give you some background here. That he took in the temple, and Jesus was embraced by the word of God. Took people to the church. He loved the church. And he wanted to stay with the church. And his parents were about leaving. And he didn't go for days. And they say, where is my son? They have to run back and try to find Jesus. When they found Jesus, and they asked him, you have been troubling us so much. And he said this in verse 49 of chapter 2. The book of Luke says, he said to them, why is it that you sought me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? At the age of 12, he had a vision to follow God, to do the Father's business. I'm telling you, when you wake up in the morning, do you have a vision? Do you have a mission today? What is your mission? What is your mission before you start walking on the door? Oh, as I meditate on this life, I think about, Lord, give me a mission today. Don't let this day just happen just like another day. We'll go by as nothing happened. Tell me what to do, what to say. Who should I see? Who should I witness? That's what Jesus Christ's mission. Every morning we should seek God for our mission for the day. Well, he grew up as a carpenter, Matthew chapter 13 and also Mark chapter 6, talking about a wonderful carpenter. He diligent to work as a carpenter with his father. He worked the best he can. So we start the day, do we work the best we can? Let people see that we've been honest and work hard. We don't slack off in our school or slack off in our work. We let people know that we work. We give our heart into the work. That's what Jesus did. You know, a lot of times we think small thing, we shouldn't do it. No, even a small thing, do the best you can. When you accomplish that, God gives you a bigger thing. While his life goes on, he's grow up and stronger. And that time hit the age of around 30. What happened? Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And you know the story. You're going to be baptized. As of years, around the age 30, he was baptized. And as he baptized, come out of the water. And verse 17, Matthew 3, verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. My friend, that's what happened. When you wake up, when you're baptized again, you know, at least what I said, we have to baptize every day. New person. And God said, you, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, whom I well pleased. You are a new person, and God pleased to see you to start off the fresh day. Well, Jesus Christ wasn't in there. After he baptized, very immediately, as he was leading into the wilderness for temptation. Well, before the temptation, he spent 40 days fasting and praying. You know, when you fast and pray, you think about God. When you start your day, you have to think about God constantly. That's why I like to start with my year with fast and prayer. I want to know him. And so he did that for 40 days without food. I took a group of younger people, go up in Alpine, after 3 days, people start getting hungry. You know, if I don't see food, I won't get hungry. But a lot of people have food walk on in front of me, I'm probably going to get hungry. But Jesus cried for 40 days. Guess what? What's the first temptation that comes to Jesus? Food. What first temptation comes to Adam and Eve? Food. My friend, don't think food is not temptation. I'm telling you, food is a temptation. You know, by around 10 o'clock, you want to get a snack. You know, everyone needs a snack. A chocolate bar or something like that. You know, you start to do all that. You know it's not good for you. You know this body is a Holy Spirit and God want to talk to you, but you might feed all those junk food in your body. Food is very important. But choose it wisely. So that's what happened. The devil say, turn that rock into bread. Because he know you are very hungry. He said, if you the Son of God, are you the Son of God? Yeah, Jesus, I'm the Son of God. Well, turn it. If you're not turning, you're not the Son of God. But God ignored that. Don't let the devil try to tempt you at the beginning of the day. He will tell you, you know, if you are the Son of God, you can do that. You can lie, you can cheat. It's okay. You can do all this to climb up the corporate ladder. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to live by the word of God. Sometimes we feed our soul more than feed the word of God into our soul. The word of God will help us to overcome temptation. So Jesus Christ passes the first temptation, second temptation. The devil says, yeah, you know what? I know you're going to fall into this. I'm going to take you up to the high city and look it down and say, you know, just, if you're the Son of God, you just jump down. Your Father will catch you. And all this written in Matthew chapter 4 here. Throw yourself out. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. A lot of times we say, you know, just do it and then and God will forgive us. God will take care of us. A little bit when we heard. But no, we have to stick from the word of God. Say, do not let the devil to tempt you. Say, it is written. Go back to the word of God. You know, if you don't memorize some of the Bible texts, it's hard to quote them. You know? When you see the temptation come, you got to know your word of God in your head. You face the devil with the word of God. You know, I try to commit myself to memory, you know, every 3 or 4 days in new Bible text. And I pray I got to recite all that. I need that. I need for my soul. While Jesus passed that temptation, while he took Jesus up into the mountain and say, this is the world. If you just bow down to me, a small bow down is fine. And I can give this whole world to you. You don't have to go through what is it? Sacrifice yourself on the cross. Is that right? I mean, you're coming here to redeem this world. It's yours, isn't it? Well, I can give to you. You just bow down. I mean, it sounds like so easy. You know, if Jesus just bowed down and give hold the world back, he don't have to go do anything. Same thing like us. You know, God said, you know, if you just do this, I will give this to you. If you would just cheat in your test, I will give you an A in this class. If you just shoot someone down your workplace, you will become a next manager. My friend, sometimes it sounds so easy. You are tempted to do it. But back to the word of God. Away Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. We serve no other one beside God. And so as you start the day, temptation will come to your life in a different way. If you just look at those three temptations and how Jesus Christ overcome, you will sure overcome many of them. Well, when he able to pass the other temptation, now he start with his ministry. The first thing he went to that wedding at Cana, he turned water into wine. He brings blessing to people. And I might start my day, I might bring blessing to other people. Do I care? Do I do something to bring blessing to them? Walk in the workplace and I say, good morning, how are you doing? You have a beautiful dress on you. I mean, you bring blessing to people. Or you walk in work and you say, getting tired, I hate this day. I hope it's over soon. You know, sometimes we got to think we have to start the day fresh. And we have the Holy Spirit on us that we got to go out and be happiest people in the world. That's what we need to do. When you meditate on his life, Jesus never complained to say, I'm too busy, too noisy. I mean, it's a lot of noise. You know, 5,000 among you, I mean, too much noise. I can hear a few people whisper, but 5,000 whisper, people whisper, it's noisy. But Jesus said, you know, come unto me. I mean, we got to look beyond all those noise. We look beyond all those problems. You got to see people who are in need of love. Turn with me in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Here is his life again. He walked down the street. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman have a flow of blood for 12 years. How many years? 12 years. I mean, can you see? You're bleeding to death for 12 years. I mean, I have gout for 1 week. I couldn't stand this. And verse 26, and has suffered for many things from many physicians. That means no one can cure you. She has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. I mean, you can go on doctor and pay all, use all the money as you can, but it's not getting better. Verse 27, and she heard about Jesus. She just heard about it. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I mean, when you are sick like this, and with the Jews, you have to go around and say, I am unclean, I am unclean. No one can talk to you. And so she don't want to talk to Jesus about, oh, I'm unclean. But she was thinking about, if I just touch his garment, that's it. If I just touch his garment. And verse 28 says, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I mean, I will be healed right away. That's what the faith she had. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction for 12 years. And Jesus immediately, knowing that himself, that the power gone off him, turned out that the crowd had said, who touched my clothes? Did you touch my garment? Did you? The power came out of me. Who touched it? And the disciple turned around. God, you know what? Master, so many people around you, they touch you. What do you mean, who touched you? No, I know someone touched my God. You see, Jesus will notice even you in the crowd. He will notice you were sick. You will notice where you will be lonely. He will notice you if you cried out to him. I want to start my day that I want to be noticed that people are need healing. Who need prayer. Or maybe you and I are so busy like just a disciple. Who are touching you? Who care? Let go on with life. Better things to do. But no, Jesus stopped and touch her and bring healing. You see, I want to have the same mind of Christ. That's what I want. I say, there's someone today that I can touch, Lord. If someone today needs special healing, that I can lay my hand out and pray for him or for her. That's what our life that Jesus wants us to live. Not like the disciples, too busy. Well, another story. I find another story that Jesus walked by. Turn with me in the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In the middle of the day, hot. And this lady, Samaritan woman, came out and go get some water. You don't go out in the middle of the hot summer day. And here you come out and you saw Jesus, the Jews. I mean, I'm a Samaritan and you're the Jews. There's no common. I mean, you see prejudice happening already? And Jesus said to the Samaritan, give me water to drink. And I give you the water that you will never thirst again. Wow. And so here, Jesus have a dialogue with the sinner, the outcast, the loner. Again, the disciple come back and see Jesus. Jesus, I brought some food for you. There's a couple of hamburgers for you here. Which one do you want? He said, I'm full already. What do you mean full? What do you eat? You see, the disciple did not see that. The disciple did not see the lonely woman. The hurting woman. That's what Jesus wants us to see. If I can put the eyeglass out on the Holy Spirit to see those people lonely, that I can come and help them, then I have the same mind with Christ. No, Jesus does not come to this world to feed the people and heal the sick. He came here to preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 10. He sit on the hilltop and he preached the gospel. And people was awed. Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 say this. Blessed are those who persecuted. Is it Matthew 5? 10? Persecuted for the righteousness of my sake. For there's the kingdom of heaven. Were you persecuted in my name? The people do, yeah, we were persecuted in my name. The Roman came over and don't let us worship the way we want to. They took our tithe money and they took our tax. Whatever it is. You see, blessed are those persecuted in my name. You will see the kingdom of God. He bring the gospel to the people. You see? We should not confine within our church. Bring people to gospel. See, God said, bring the gospel to the people. Go out every doorways and byway, every way you can in season and out of season. Preach the gospel. Because people need to have hope message. People need a savior, my friend. When I heard on the news people suicide, I said, my God, I wish I can come to that house, witness to him or her before and make that commitment. The Lord will open the ways for you to contact someone to share this gospel. Jesus have to share this gospel because people in need of a Savior. While it was a long day, Jesus got tired and come to the point at the end of the day, he was going to have a supper. A last supper. Wow, I'm looking for the day that at the end of the day I have a supper with my family. You know, maybe we come around the family table and we talk about, Mayor, what's going on? How are things going today? How's politics? How's religion? No, Jesus didn't talk about that. He saw the disciple and said, you know what? I want to wash your feet. What? You want to wash my feet? Jesus wanted to teach his disciple the experience of humble. And what the disciples saw that he started to thing about washing each other's feet and start to confess to one another. You see, when I saw that the Lord's Supper with Jesus at, I longed to have my Lord, my last supper and every day with my family gathering and start to confess our sin. Forgive for each other. Pray for each other. Care for each other. That's what Jesus wants us to have supper together. Not just going there and grab a bowl of rice and sit in the corner watching TV. No, a family gathering. Talk about life. Talk about Jesus. How is Jesus in your life today? How is it? Talk about it. Share. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. The Last Supper has happened, and after it's finished, Jesus took his three famous, if you call, disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. and say, you wait for a while, I'm going to pray to the Father by myself, but you make sure you keep yourself awake and pray for me. You see? Well, Jesus went away and prayed, and when he came back, he saw his disciple, what? Sleep. I mean, Jesus already see what's going to happen. And he was afraid, and he concerned. He said, Lord, if you could take this cup away from me, not my will, but your will. In that Garden of Gethsemane, there's two to power. One power is from God. God here. God beside Jesus Christ here. Every single agonizing prayer, and saw every drop of blood off his forehead. He saw that. He wanted to change the thing, but he could, because he wanted to save humanity. All of a sudden, we see another power. The devil come along and say, you know what? It's not worth to save these human race. Look, if you go back and you pray for them, they sleep. They don't care about you. Why would you die for them? You see, when you meditate on that, you start to fall in love with Jesus Christ. He loved his people so much that he's willing to go through with it. You see, at the end of supper, you know, you instead of go to sleep, instead of go turn on TV and watching American Idol, you spend some time with God. God, help me. I want to see the last scene of your life on earth. When you start to see Jesus praying for you and I, you just break out in tears. Lord, you do this for me. And you start breaking in tears. You start to pray for other people. You pray for your friend. You pray for your leader. You pray for your enemy. You start to pray just like Jesus prayed for them. You see, when you have Christ in your heart, you just like Christ. You just pray for people. They might not know what I'm going through, but I ask you to bless them. You see, Jesus knows very well the next day he will be crucified. It's going to be a tough day. A lot of times we do not know that. We need to spend time in prayer that tomorrow is going to be a tough day for us. If we don't spend time on our knee and pray, we will never, never go through tomorrow. The Satan behind Jesus' back every single minute from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. Give up. You don't have to die. I give this word back to you. Jesus neglected all those temptations, even on the cross. Satan used people's lips, say, come down. If you, the Son of God, come down. Jesus knows very well, I cannot come down. I come to this world to save my people. That's the scene that I saw in my prayer. And here, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Here, Jesus Christ hang on the cross. All the people mock at him and curse him. And he looked to his father and said, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And say this, Father, into my hand I commend my spirit. And having said that, his breath, his last, doesn't mean let it go. He commends his life. He commits his life into the Father's hand. Before you and I go to sleep, in our last prayer, we commit our life to God. God, I go to this day for you. I commit my life to you. Whatever's happened, I give my life to you. That's what exactly Jesus did. And after that, they buried Jesus in the tomb. And the devil said, you know, I cannot let Jesus get out of the tomb. I'm going to roll the big stone over and get the soldiers, get on there, and no way can get out of the tomb. Sometimes we fall asleep and the devil say, no, this man, this young girl, no way. This should not come alive tomorrow. They did so many things, witnessed so many people, changed so many lives. That's what Jesus did. And the Father knows that. The Father sent the angel down and kicked away the stone and said, your Father is calling you. Wake up. Every morning, my friend, when you wake up, you should hear your Father is calling you. A new day. A new day. You know, sometimes the devil doesn't want you to wake up and say, you know what, sleep on. Don't wake up. Just wake up just in time to go to work so you can skip prayer. You can skip the time meditation with God. You know, when you start doing that, your life is going downhill. That's why I ask God, God, please wake me up early in the morning before my children cry out, before I have to step down to the kitchen to prepare breakfast. Before that, I want to spend a time in prayer with you. I want to spend time with you. And so when you wake up, the Lord's calling you, it's a new day, my son. Wake up. And here's a wonderful thing here. It's a beautiful verse that someone showed me here. Turn with me in the book of John chapter 20. When Jesus arose, came out of the tomb, and Mary came over and tried to greet Jesus. And John chapter 20 says this clearly. Verse 17, John 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. Oh, wow, beautiful text. Do not let the phone ring, do not text me. I don't ignore everything because I have not ascended to my Father. Wow, it's lovely. I want to see my Jesus before I see anyone else. I want to spend time with my God before with anyone else. My friend, when I start to meditate on the life of Christ like this, it's helping me have a mind of Christ. And I start to work on this. I say, Lord, I want you to live in me every single second. Every single minute. And when I go to this story, I think about it. It's just lovely. And so sweet. And I determine again, I start the day with contemplate on the life of Christ again. A lot of people say, waste time. But can I show you it's not? It's so sweet. You go throughout the day, you can solve almost every problem. You can stand through all the temptation. You can face all the trial. And you still have a smile on your face. My friend, when I find my Jesus, and I find the very beautiful text, contemplate an hour on the life of Christ, I hold it and embrace it in my life. I like you to have the same experience every single day, to taste the sweet spirit that God wants to bestow upon you every day. That's all I need. And thank you, Lord, that you taught me in the last several days to think about this. I bring to you. And I hope you put it to exercise. I hope you put it into practice. You will see your life will be changed. You're a new person. A new look at life. And when you come to close to God so much, just like Moses, people will see you and say, you must have spent time with God. You must have. You want to do that? You want to ask God, Lord, I want to commit my life to spend time with you. Help me to meditate on your life and your death. It's so sweet. And with that in mind, you will overcome everything in this world. Nothing, nothing that you can overcome if you spend the time with God in prayer. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, Peter wrote the text, say, arm yourself with the mind of Christ that you will overcome every single temptation. Lord, today we want to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. I ask your Holy Spirit come into our life every single day. Not only the Sabbath day, but every single day, when the day, when the minute we wake up until the minute we lie down, that we have Jesus in our heart fully, that nothing can take our joys away. When we have Jesus in our heart, we can walk with him every minute of the day. And the end of the day we say, I'm glad I have Jesus in my life. I pray for every young person and all as well to take this serious. Contemplate an hour about the life of Christ in their prayer, in their life, that they can have a full of Christ's character in their life every single day. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.